starts at the board level, though, right? You know, some boards are willing or some unwilling to merge with another credit union. It has the appearance of throwing in the towel, right? We're done. Someone else can have this. We're thankful that was never our board's perspective. In fact, we're thankful to have a very progressive board and realize that through these mergers, we're able to do more for our members.
This is Behind the Vault, where we study the best in community banking. On this show, we talk with community bank and credit union leaders about their approaches, challenges, and successes in serving their communities in today's world. I'm your host, Rich Edwards. Our aim is to highlight and strengthen one of the most essential parts of our economy, the community financial institution. Stick around at the end of the show to learn how you can be a guest on Behind the Vault. And now, on with the episode. Growth through mergers isn't uncommon in financial services. However, for nonprofit credit unions, this strategy of growth presents its own unique challenges. Here to talk to us about that today is Jerry Hopkins, the COO, and Brett Fisher, the CFO of Skyla Credit Union. Headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina, the $1.5 billion credit union originally started as the Charlotte City Employees Credit Union in 1962 and has grown pretty consistently both through organic and merger activities, recently changing their name to Skyla in 2022. Brett, Jerry, thank you for being with us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rich.
So there's been a very long history of growth and your approach to growth, but that has since really recently more accelerated with some fairly larger mergers that you've done. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and maybe what's unique about your approach and or really the size and scale of it, which was unprecedented.
You're spot on, Rich. Skyla has gone through two mergers of recent, both due to strategic reasons to expand our presence in the marketplace and generate scale. But our foundation for growth is longstanding, based off of Charlotte Metro's treasured past in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. We did pride ourselves on strong organic growth, but despite efforts to grow, we knew we needed more scale. In today's competitive and increasingly harder regulatory environment, we knew we needed to accelerate our position. Our leaders at the time did want to seek out partnering credit unions that thought like us, that we believed first and foremost was a cultural fit, believing that's the first box to check as we look at merger partners. And that first journey began in 2021 as we merged with Premier Credit Union, but still branded under the name Charlotte Metro. And then fast forward to 2023, we merged with Parsons Credit Union, whose headquarters was in Pasadena, California, but brought on a digital expertise that we knew we needed in addition to scale to push Skyla well into the 21st century.
So roughly what were the sizes of the institutions involved, kind of like when you started this process?
So back to the 2021 merger with Premier, Charlotte Metro was around $750 million and Premier was in the low $200 million range, maybe $225. By the time the merger occurred, it pushed us over that $1 billion threshold. So momentarily was a celebratory moment, thinking that extra comma meant efficiencies and scale were automatically generated for us. And then first of 2023, prior to merging with Parsons, Skyla as an entity was around $1.1, $1.2 billion and Parsons pushing $300 million. So it accelerated us beyond the $1.4 billion mark and through natural growth. Since then, we've now crested over $1.5.
So I think there's a couple angles to this, right? The first one is this seems difficult to do, because it's not common to see so many or some done at such size as what you've done. What's your approach or what's your strategy or what do you think has kind of helped you pull this off, not once, but multiple times?
So certainly the relationships of our CEO, Eric Gelly, with the leadership of the credit unions that we sought to merge with. He has had both personal and professional relationships, both with Laurie Thompson, as well as Ray Krause, who were the prior CEOs, and they currently have roles within Skyla today. So Laurie is head chief culture officer. So she is responsible for HR, training, facilities, a lot of how we present ourselves to our employees and how we treat our employees is a big focus, because culture is certainly important when you're merging two credit unions. And Ray is president of our CUSO, so he is responsible for finding those other opportunities to generate non-interest income, which is what he had a strong background in prior to serving as CEO at Parsons Federal Credit Union. Those relationships are what sparked it. Certainly, it was very much the focus of the teams to pull what worked into our new credit union, so to speak. So they pulled the items, the processes and products that were very popular, and we merged those into what is Skyla today in terms of those products and processes that worked. So we did not erase one credit union off the map simply by merging. We actually weaved in some of the products and processes and culture, really, of each of those credit unions that were working to make Skyla.
So when you're kind of looking at this or thinking about it, what's your criteria? I mean, how are you thinking about like a potential partner or a merger partner or somebody you're looking to bring into? I mean, you've talked about Parsons and particularly having the technology resource and being able to have a whole nother business line as a credit union service organization on the side. But what are you looking for? How what's your screen for like who's a candidate?
Complementary things. So like we mentioned, the digital aspect of Parsons, as well as their membership makeup was a little more affluent than our traditional membership makeup. And as everyone in the industry knows, with the liquidity concerns that we've all kind of been paying very close attention to in the last year plus, that was a huge benefit to us financially as well. You know, with Premier, they definitely lent deeper, meaning more of the CD&E category outside from the traditional Charlotte Metro Credit Union. And as a credit union, we want to continue to do that. So we were able to weave those processes into us. In terms of what we look at going forward, and I'll let Britt add to this as well, it's something that can complement what our needs are today. Certainly, it has been what internally we have conversations about ideal merger partners and what those look like. And core is important to us. So certainly, if they're on our core, that's going to be a much easier, or I should say smoother transition for staff as well as systems. If they are on our core existing, if they're contiguous to our market, if they have, like I said, if they have certain products and services that fit something that we don't offer today or can enhance what we offer today, that is what we're looking for, as well as the cultural fit. So that's first and foremost. If their philosophy on things varies drastically from how we do things, then we have and can and will say we want to pass.
So things like alignment from philosophy and like how they approach the business of being a credit union, that's more of a disqualifier than necessarily something that's going to attract you towards them. Okay. So talk a little bit about like how you do this. I guess some kind of portfolio analysis of saying, here's kind of what we're looking for. Like how are you ranking that, or how are you thinking about what's important, or what's going to make one particular potential partner more attractive than another?
Okay. I'll take this one, Rich. And even before we ask that question, it starts at the board level though, right? Where, you know, some boards are willing or some unwilling to merge with another credit union. It has the appearance of throwing in the towel, right? We're done. Someone else can have this one. And that, we're thankful that was never our board's perspective. In fact, we're thankful to have a very progressive board who's very active and realize that through these mergers, we're able to do more for our members. And I think that's step one with any future potential merger partner. There has to be that consistent train of thought and that progressive train of thought at the board level before we can ever, you know, take a peek under the hood at the financials. I will say, though, if a name is mentioned, we're going to look under the hood before that conversation is had. And what we found is really so much depends on the rate environment. As we've undergone such a volatile change and a rapid increase in our rate environment, we find that has a material impact on merger valuations. So even though one balance sheet may have one appearance as filed through our regulators, once you go through the motions and kind of triangulate the value of that balance sheet based on the market that we're in, it can have a drastically different perception. So it's not a surface view that tells you everything. You certainly have to do a deep dive, kind of get into the numbers to make sure it does have that financial fit. Certainly, as Jerry mentioned, it's more of a product or a service and or most importantly, a cultural fit ever before it's a financial fit. Those things matter much longer term. The financial impact is just a one-day event. Merging the culture, the people, and the board, it takes a lot longer.
And you have to sell these mergers to our membership, right? We have to make sure we very clearly outline the benefits that our members are going to receive and prove that to them. Because, you know, as many in our industry know, our members love their credit unions, and they certainly are not so enthusiastic about change at times, but they trust us. And if all teams involved believe in the merger itself and what we're trying to accomplish, they can relay that to their members who trust them, and we can move it forward in a positive way and usually offer many more products and services and benefits to those members as a result of that.
And they ultimately can vote with their feet, right? I mean, that's always going to be the case. Yeah. Talk a little bit about how much of this are you doing yourself or organically, and how much are you relying on advisors or vendors to kind of help you with from that standpoint?
So I would say it's primarily organic. Now, we have been approached by industry partners with credit unions that they know who, because of their CEO retiring or the board desire, have approached us or put the name out there that they are interested in merger partners. And sometimes, you know, those are brought to our attention. But no, we have internal conversations about how certain credit unions that we think would be potentially a good fit based on how we perceive their culture and their products and services that perhaps we don't have. But, you know, it's something that is always in our mind, but we are not discussing every single day. So we certainly don't believe mergers are the only growth strategy, right? We want our organic growth. We want to grow our members and our loans organically. Mergers just help build that footprint as well as help further improve our scale.
So, I mean, what one of the bigger, I guess, risks or concerns around executing something like this at this size is how much this is a potential distraction to your day-to-day business. How do you manage that, or how do you think about it as far as, you know, how much your headcount is like dedicated to like getting this done and going through the transition and things like that? Like, what are some of the things you've learned from that?
Oh gosh, so yeah, I'll tell you my part from an operational side, and then I'll let Brett chime in. It is additional work for everyone. There is no sugarcoating that at all. I think planning is critical, and with the experience that we've gained from these mergers, having a very well-established, well-thought-out, clear project plan, along with project managers that are dedicated to keeping us all on task with all of the particulars involved in a merger. Certainly leaving enough room with our IT folks to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, because so much of it, of course, is data and system-driven training. It touches every single part of the credit union. And I think our staff, as well as those who've merged with us, have come to the understanding that it is like having a second job oftentimes, and you have to staff up for it for sure. So there are a lot of internal projects that do have to take a backseat during a big merger, you know, and a lot of decisions around contracts and certain initiatives you have to postpone until, you know, you've merged your credit unions and can decide, you know, no, you don't want to make this system change here, because you're going to have to merge this data here, and you don't want that to mess up the merge data. And there are so many different steps to making sure that process is clear from an operational standpoint, but it is tough on everyone. And I'll let Brett speak to some of the financial side of things.
Well, and we've said it internally, mergers are disruptive in that they take you away from doing other functions. We coach and lead through a strengths-based program internally, and a lot of us are learners by nature in one of the Gallup strengths categories. So as we go through mergers, we're learning constantly. How can we do it better? The first one we approached with external assistance, but as we thought through the second one, how can we do it better? We learned from that process and actually stood up our own project management team to help guide us through the merger. And one of our senior branch leaders said it well when she said, "I didn't realize that we needed a project management team until we had one. I didn't know what they did until they were on site, and how do we now live without them?" So we've leveraged those resources gained via the merger process, and now we use it to further additional initiatives such as moving digital banking platforms or offering member loans and services through more efficient technologically based means. So we've grown, we've learned through each one.
So that's an interesting point there, that you know, you've built this competence around, for lack of a better term, change management, right? Because it touches a lot of different areas for what you're doing. How well has that worked to kind of, instead of saying we're going to be like Cisco in the late 90s, that it's just acquisition, to say, no, you're going to do this, and then we're going to take the skills and kind of that muscle we learned from change management and apply it to other parts of the business. How has that worked out for you? Has that been like a net positive, I guess, as a question? Or is it all the cost of pursuing a strategy like this?
No, it's absolutely a net positive because, like Brett mentioned, you know, we also had a digital banking conversion. We are in the middle of a project tied to our new account opening. So we're partnering with Clutch to make the account opening process for potential members much more secure, more fraud tools, as well as quicker and easier. And having that project manager and knowing the people that you've, because it's really anything that touches your system from an account opening standpoint, you're going to use a lot of the same folks in those projects that you needed for that merger. And we already know, you get to know everyone, their skill set, you learn how to approach it, you know what questions to ask, you learn what questions to ask, all those things that just the experience of participating in a merger project give you with every other project. And yes, we've kept our project management and have added to that team, and they have been invaluable in terms of certainly keeping us on course with the major projects we've had on deck.
So as far as like making that transition, when are you done? I guess is the question, right? I mean, I know the answer is never, but when do you kind of declare victory on the whole process and say, okay, we are now one organization and let's move forward? Are there signals? Are there things that you look for from a leadership standpoint, or like technical milestones that you kind of use for that?
Jerry, I can certainly take this one. I think there's small wins you celebrate along the way. The member vote, kind of being the first. But for us, we have also had to navigate the mergers with different legal day one and operational day one. So legally we were one, operationally we were separate. But you celebrate the legal day one and you really throw a party after operational day one, because there's so much work to get to that day. And the farther apart those two are, the more difficult it becomes. So we have learned to try to most closely align those days, if not make them the same day, if at all possible. Beyond those days, Rich, it's very rewarding to sit back and hear your team no longer say, "That's how we used to do it." When they make no further reference to the past, when they only talk about how are we going to improve what we do today. And what we did in the past, we do cherish. We all three credit unions forming our foundation have very cherished histories. But when you have a team of leaders sitting around a table and there's no further reference to how we used to do it or the old names, and it's just us as a family today trying to improve our members' lives, and we talk about the future, that's when you start to deep down celebrate. It's not an outward celebration like those other big days getting you through the merger, but it's, all right, we're doing something right at that point.
So you've pulled off two of these in the past, what, roughly 3 years, rather sizable ones. Is this the end of the road for this, or is this something that you're still considering going forward?
I would say for the right partner, we're absolutely considering going forward. We certainly, like I said, keep our eyes and ears open for opportunities, whereas internally we are certainly focused on organic growth, and we will continue to do so. Growth for good, as we like to call it here at Skyla, but we are always open to the right partner and keep our eyes and ears open for those opportunities as well.
So that being said, what I think you're saying is this is not something you're actively pursuing. However, if the right opportunity presented itself, if you were to come across the right opportunity, as opposed to, we're going to be a $5 billion organization in 5 years. Like, you don't have any kind of like grand goals.
Being a certain size has never been a driver for our management team. We call it growth for good. So growth that benefits us and our membership, helps us grow our bottom line as well as the products and services we can offer, not just to be big, because that's not always a good thing either.
Well, this is a fascinating story, and thank you very much for coming on and sharing with it. If anybody's interested in learning more about you or your process or just about Skyla in general, where can they go?
They can go to skylacu.com. Or they can reach out to Brent or myself. We're both very happy to talk with anyone about any of our merger experiences that we've had, and we're grateful to be a part of it. So thank you for having us.
Jerry, Brent, thank you very much for being here and sharing your story.
Thank you, Rich.
This has been Behind the Vault, a production of Mindspan Systems, helping community FIs provide service like no other. Learn more at mindspaninc.com. If you're a community bank or credit union leader and have a story to tell, please visit behindthevaultpod.com/guest. That's behindthevaultpod.com/guest. If you found this episode useful, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts, as that helps other FI leaders like you find the show. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for more insider stories from community banking on Behind the Vault.